Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson which has been read, and our theme this morning, Jesus compassionately sends you. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, well, here we are. You see, the colors have changed again, but they're not going to change for a while now, not until the end of October. For now, we are entering into the long green season. And as a former soldier, I don't mind the color of green. It's kind of a wonderful color. Green. Why green for the Sundays after Pentecost? Well, green in the church represents two things. It represents growth. We grow in our Christian faith by hearing God's word. So the Sundays after Pentecost are about what Jesus has done, what Jesus has taught, what Jesus has commanded us to do. And all of this Jesus has done for you and for me. Green is also the color of life. And in the sense of the church, green represents eternal life, the life that we have in Jesus Christ. For only in Him do we have life and salvation. So green represents for us all that Jesus has taught and all that He has done for us. It even represents for us His life, the life that we now live in Him. It also reminds us of the mission. That mission you heard last week. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Notice what Jesus said our mission was: to baptize and to teach. We, His church, we are to baptize and we are to teach. What are we to teach? We are to teach them everything. We are to teach them to obey everything that's written in this book. We're not to teach them what's written in the newspaper. We're not to teach them what we think God wants us to teach. No, He has given us, He has given each and every one of us His commands of what we are to teach here in this book, in His holy word. So we begin our long green season this year with Jesus teaching, going from city and village and teaching the people. Not only was He teaching, but He was healing and He was calling. And we also hear that He was sending. You hear this morning that Jesus compassionately sends. He sends 12 disciples, 12 men. And now today, He compassionately sends you. Compassion, empathy, something that is being lost in our society today. Jesus told us that it would be this way in the end times, that man would lose his love for his fellow man. Compassion is slowly seeping away from us. That deep empathy that we as Christians are to have for each other is slowly being robbed away from us, taken from us. What is this compassion and what is this empathy that Matthew writes about this morning? That same compassion and that deep, deep empathy that Jesus has for the people who He was teaching and healing. That empathy, that deep, deep compassion was coming from the inside. This compassion was Him being moved by what Jesus saw. He saw people who were imprisoned by demons, imprisoned by sin, imprisoned by disease and all kinds of other afflictions. And Jesus was moved deep in His core. Actually, in the ancient world, to have compassion means that the seat of your compassion, your inner organs, were gushing forth. They were gushing forth for the other person. That's deep, deep empathy. And their Lord and Savior had this empathy for them. Jesus was seeing in his world in that day all kinds of diseases and afflictions, people chasing after false shepherds. He was seeing those who were dying without a shepherd, for they weren't being cared for, since they were following false shepherds, and they were proclaiming a false message. Jesus saw the uncleanness of their lives, that they did not have God. Rather, they were following the evil one, and they were possessed and being driven away from the truth of his word. Another way we can say this is what Jesus saw was that they were breaking God's holy commandments. What you just heard from the Old Testament reading. What God told Moses is that he himself carried the people out of Egypt and that he was going to give them his law. But did the Israelites follow the law? No, they made the law unto themselves. They produced other gods. In other words, they broke the first commandment. They worshiped other things and they worshiped nature. They worshiped those things that would not and cannot save them. Not only that, but they also broke the second commandment. They proclaimed a false message, a false gospel. They were shepherds who were not shepherds, but they were ravenous wolves dressed as shepherds. And they were misusing his holy name. Does this sound familiar? Do we here at Zion also break these commandments? Sometimes we are tempted to listen to a false gospel. Sometimes we are tempted to follow a false messenger. And quite often we misuse God's name by saying things about God that isn't true. Or saying that God said this when it's not written in here. That's breaking the second commandment. We're taking God's name and raking it through the muck and mire of our sin. And those other gods? Oh, you and I have them, that's for sure. Be it money or sex or other people or our equipment, things that we have, our material goods. We have those other gods. But thanks be to God that Jesus has compassion, that Jesus was moved with compassion, with this deep empathy, not only for the people of Israel, but he's been moved for each and every one of you. And he pours himself out. He poured out his blood here upon the cross so that you would not die in your trespasses and sin. The breaking of the second commandment of taking your Lord's name in vain. When you repent, it is forgiven. And when you make other things God, violating the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. When we break that commandment, when we repent of that sin, we are forgiven. That's the compassion, the deep, deep empathy that Jesus has for you and for me. Jesus had this compassion on people who had no shepherd. They were harassed. They were helpless. In your compassionate shepherd, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And dear ones, it is at hand right now. We still live in this age of grace. We still have this wonderful, beautiful ability to open our mouth and to tell other people about what Jesus has done for you. He has given his church, he has given you, he has given you authority to proclaim his holy word, authority to proclaim his holy gospel. He has given you authority to resist sin and Satan. He has given you authority. He has given you authority, dear one, to proclaim his holy message, to be his disciple. In his compassion, Jesus acts by coming into the world. Jesus acts by being born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Jesus acts by doing this wonderful work in the cities and villages of Galilee and ultimately in Judea. Jesus has compassion for going to the cross for you and me and for each and every one of them, and pouring out His blood, suffering the pain, suffering the wrath of God that was for us. We should have suffered that. We should have suffered the wrath of God. But Jesus stepped in and took the wrath of His Father for you and for me. Jesus heals. He was healing the people then. But dear ones, He has healed each and every one of you. At your baptism, that stain of original sin was washed away, and you were given newness of life. You have been healed. You are now His child. And then after that healing, He began proclaiming to you the truth of His word. In Sunday school, you heard about what Jesus has done for you. In church and in confirmation class, you hear what Jesus has done for you. And then on that great and glorious day, you stood here at your confirmation and you confessed with your own tongue that Jesus is your Lord, and now He nourishes you with body and blood. He is always with you. He'll never leave or forsake you. And He has given you one who proceeds from the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, who is always with you, your great counselor, and He will give you the words to speak. Be not afraid. Your holy triune God lives in you, and there's nothing and there's no one who can defeat you. Proclaim the good news. Proclaim the good news to your family and friends. Tell them the truth in love. My dear friends, you cannot make them believe, but you can proclaim the word, and then the Holy Spirit begins to work in their hearts to convert them, to lead them to hear, to confess their sins, to receive body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins, for life and salvation. Cast the seed, proclaim the word. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. That's all that Jesus is asking you to do. That is your mission. So I hear quite often, Pastor, I can't do that. Why? I can't be a disciple, but you are a disciple. Dear ones, consider this. Jesus called 12 men. Jesus called a tax collector, one who was hated by the people. He was a social outcast, Matthew. Jesus called an excitable fisherman and his brother and two of his associates, Peter and Andrew and James and John. Jesus called two working fellows from Galilee that no one has ever heard of before, Philip and Bartholomew. He's also known as Nathanael. Jesus called a man who repeatedly doubted Him, doubted His word, and doubted His work, Thomas. Jesus called a former political extremist, Simon the Cananean. That word Cananean is an Aramaic word that, when translated to the Hebrew, means the zealot. Simon belonged to the party of the zealots who wanted to revolt against Roman rule. Jesus called two mystery men who we don't know anything about, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. And lastly, Jesus calls the traitor. He called the betrayer, Judas Iscariot. Please don't tell me that you can't speak about what Jesus has done for you. Not one of these men, not one of them, was of the upper crust of society. They were not exceptional in any way. They weren't exceptionally brave. They weren't exceptionally dedicated. Thomas. There's no proof that they had any influence with anyone. They were not priests. They were not of the religious caste. They weren't gifted in any way. But when Jesus spoke to them, and when Jesus gave them the Spirit, they did mighty things. They proclaimed the word, and each and every one of them died for it, save one. John died of natural age, All the others were persecuted and put to death. My dear friends, he is sending you into the harvest field, just as he sent these 12 men into the harvest field. And they were not afraid. Oh yes, there were times of doubt. There were times when they were hesitant. There were times when they betrayed. But Jesus was still forgiving. They still had the power to proclaim the word because they had his authority. Jesus commanded them, "And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay." Now your pastor is not telling you to go out and hit the cemetery and raise the dead. You're going to be there a very long time. You're going to be there a very, very long time. And your loved one will continue to rest. Your pastor's not telling you to go out and cleanse lepers, if you can even find any. Your pastor's not telling you to go out and cast out demons. What your pastor is telling you is that you have the power and the authority to proclaim the gospel. These gifts were special gifts given at a special time so that the people would see their good shepherd and follow him. These gifts you may not be able to have, but if the Spirit gives you these gifts, then they are gifts of the Spirit. But the gift that you do have is here, the gift of opening your mouth and telling others what Jesus has done for you. Dearest disciples of Jesus Christ, and yes, you are disciples of Jesus. A disciple is one who is a learner, one who is learning from their Lord. You are his disciples. You are his dear bride. You are his church. Rest assured. Be bold. Be confident. Proclaim the word. Proclaim the word. And God will reap the harvest. Proclaim the word, knowing that there is nothing in this world that can stop you. Proclaim the word, knowing that you now have authority, and that authority is from God himself. You are so blessed to be his disciple. You are so blessed to be called. Follow your Lord. Follow your shepherd. Continue to come here to hear the truth of his word and to be fed by him, to be fed by your shepherd, body and blood, for the strengthening of your faith, for he knows you need it. And come here and feed on him for the forgiveness. Yes, for the forgiveness of all your sin. That's Jesus' compassion. That's his compassion for you as he compassionately sends you. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.